if we want to overcome the darkness in our lives, the darkness that creeps in, the things that we struggle with, the things that are hard for us, we have to be willing to do something, to change something, to try something different.
And I'm convinced that the human spirit was not designed to simply maintain normal. Somewhere along the line, we forget that our job wasn't to maintain normal. Our job was to step into an unprecedented future where God continually presses us into what's next.
God will never ask you to respond to a call that doesn't already speak to the best part of you, the part of you that was designed for greatness, that deep down knows that there is something more.
Hey, and welcome to the Mosaic Pomona podcast. I hope that you enjoy this week's talk and want to invite you to join us live on Sundays at 10 a.m. at the Glasshouse Concert Hall in beautiful downtown Pomona. Or you can join the conversation at www.mosaicpomona.org. You can also download the Mosaic Pomona app on iTunes or Android and keep up with the conversation and community there. If you would like to financially support this podcast and the ongoing movement at Mosaic Pomona, visit us online at mosaicpomona.org/give or check out the giving option on the Mosaic app. Enjoy this week's talk.
Let's pause this morning before we jump into our conversation. Let's pray together with as we jump into the scriptures. Jesus, we thank you that your love is so great and so strong, God, and that you come and you bring the dead to life. You awaken us to your hope and your freedom and your joy and your love, and we celebrate that today, God. We have so much to be grateful for and so much to be thankful for. Would you just make us aware of that, Father? We thank you for your love and your kindness. God, would you come and move now in us and through us as we dive into your word and dive into how you would have us live out this life that you've breathed into us. We're so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we had a pretty intense conversation around what it looks like to be a community that is one that breaks past racism and prejudice and moves into a space called love and creates an inclusive community. And it's interesting because it was a heavy topic. It was one of the most downloaded podcasts ever at Mosaic Pomona, one of the most shared, and yeah, which is really exciting, and to see that this conversation was so important. And I really love that we at Mosaic Pomona have a conversation that everyone matters, that everyone is loved and belongs before they even believe anything or before they even become anything, that belonging is the first place that Jesus invites us into, that God invites us into. And so we had that conversation yesterday, and we made that our purpose. One of our purposes here at Mosaic is to make sure that that's the type of community that we step into constantly. But the thing is that as we step into that conversation, as we continue creating that type of space, what we have to recognize as individuals is that there is no neutral in life. There is no action that is simply neutral. We either show up or we don't. That's the thing. We are either moving and shaking and acting, or we are holding back and restraining and creating a vacuum in that. Because essentially we are either find ourselves in one of those places, either bringing beauty or creating a vacuum for beauty in the world around us. We always find ourselves in one of those two places. Even a choice to remain neutral is a choice to create a vacuum for an opportunity to create an environment, a space of love and hope and freedom of joy wherever you go. And as we talked about in the scriptures last week, even yesterday in Ephesians, what we see all throughout the scriptures is that we belong to one another. That there is no you or me, there is just us, and there is one, that we are connected with one another when we are connected in Christ. And there is this unity that is formed when we understand that reality and we step into that space, that our lives impact one another for better or for worse. You can't get out of that. In fact, if you're breathing, you will have an impact on someone today, whether you like it or not. You'll have an impact on where you spend your money this afternoon for lunch, or if you don't spend your money for lunch. You'll have an impact on where you park, where you don't park. You'll have an impact on how you choose to spend your time in the next 24 hours. You were made for influence. That is exactly what God designed human beings to step into. But it's interesting that we are designed to have influence in the world, to impact one another, to essentially create environments of faith and hope and love where beauty thrives. But oftentimes, the driving question at the center of who we are, the driving question that humanity is often trying to ask is this: what about me and mine? Strange, right? That we were made to have an influence and impact on the external world around us, and yet oftentimes the question that drives us is, what about me and mine? In fact, when we talk about our greatest fears in life, when we have those conversations, when we get past the things like spiders and cockroaches and snakes, you will find that some of the greatest fears that people step into are things like, what if no one remembers me? Right? Or what if my life never really made a difference? Or what if I find myself alone? What if my life doesn't turn out how the way that I want it to? What if I never find my purpose? What if I never experience love? See, those are some of the greater fears that drive some of the conversations that we find ourselves in. And really the question that we oftentimes find ourselves in is, how do I get ahead? How do I find myself getting ahead, moving forward, stepping into this life that I'm called to live? Because humanity is a giant rat race that's called get as much as I can, right? Remember that game Hungry Hungry Hippos as a kid? I feel like that's at times what life feels like, what society feels like. Everyone's just a bunch of hungry, hungry hippos trying to get as many little white balls as they can in life. And whoever gets the most wins. Doesn't it feel like that at life? Yeah, I mean, whether it's money or time or energy or resources, it seems like we're constantly trying to get as much as we can to get ahead. This shows up in my life all over the place, but probably the greatest place that this shows up at is Disneyland. And my wife can attest to this. We go to Disneyland often. That's one of our things that we do. We forsake all others for that. And where it shows up for me is parking at Disneyland. If you've ever been to Disneyland, there's a giant parking structure, and the minions attempt to park you, right? Sorry for those of you who are employees. The minions attempt to park you, and oftentimes I find myself parked on the back far corner of the parking lot, realizing that I'm going to have to walk all the way across to the escalators. And I have found all kinds of strategies to get out of that parking spot and to weasel my way into a better parking spot that I know is available. And the funny thing is, and I've learned to just accept this reality, as my wife has shared with me over and over and over again, is that we will spend sometimes triple the amount of time driving round and round and round the parking lot than it would have actually taken just to park where they put us and to walk to the escalator. I mean, sometimes by the time we've driven around and actually parked, we could have been in the park, ridden It's a Small World, had a corn dog, and be on our way home. But there's something inside of me that says, no, there's something better. There's something greater just around the corner. If we just push our way there, we can find something that's going to be excellent beyond what we have currently here and now. The problem is that when we live our lives from that perspective, it only leads to more searching, right? It only leads to a continual pursuit of trying to find the more, the better, the best, the next thing, the next high, the next greatest thing, the next level that we find ourselves in. So how do we get to a place where we as human beings can actually move forward together? And this life doesn't actually feel like a giant competition that we are competing against one another, trying to get ahead in life. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. If you have a copy of the scriptures or an app, you can turn with me there. Or if you need a copy of the scriptures, just raise your hand if you don't have one. One of our team members would love to give you one. We love giving away Bibles, so just check that out. We would love to give you one. Just raise your hand, they'll give you one. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. And it says this, a verse that maybe some of you have read many times before. It says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. That sounds awesome, right? You were called to be free. That is what you are called to be by God, period. But then it says this, it says, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, but rather serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. See, I think for many of us, we like the first part of this verse, right? If I was like, hey, if we just stop there, you are called to be free. That sounds awesome, right? That is the calling that God has placed on your life. You are called to be free from the rat race of this life. You are called to be free from the brokenness that seems to enter its way into our story constantly. You are called to be free from this thing called sin that so easily entangles us so that we can run freely to where we need to head. You are called to be completely emancipated from the things that hold you back. Sounds like a good deal, right? Right? And I love this idea of freedom. I remember one time I was on this slow carb diet thing. And the great thing about this is that one day a week, you got to eat whatever you wanted. And in fact, the guy who invented this was like, literally eat whatever you want. Eat candy bars, eat pizzas. The rest of the week, you're going to be suffering. But do this, right? And I thought, this is awesome. I can do anything for 6 days as long as I know that seventh day's coming, right? And the funny thing was, is that it worked for like a couple weeks, but then what happened was, is it turned into like a cheat day and a half, right? And then it was like, well, you know, now it's like a cheat day and a half, but it's really like a full 24, 27 hours. And so then it became like a cheat day and three quarters, you know, and a cheat day at 2 days in a row. And before you knew it, it was just cheat week, right? Because here's the thing. I think for most of us, we have confused this idea of freedom with self-indulgence. We've confused the idea that freedom is simply about doing what I want all the time. Now I know it's really hard to imagine this, but go with me there, if you will. Imagine a world where everyone did what they wanted. Really hard to imagine, I know, right? It's hard to picture, but just go with me there. Imagine a world where everyone just did as they wanted, where they took what they needed and they weren't really caring about other people, where those who were greedy took what they needed and those who were entitled had what they needed. This is what the world around us might look like if we were to step into that space. See, the problem with living from that perspective of equating freedom with self-indulgence is that it just leads to us devouring one another. See, because if I'm out to get as much as I can, that means you over there are part of the getting. And I'm out there attempting to control, manipulate, get as much as I can from other people. And so people eventually become commodities that we use for power, for money, for sex, for control, for comfort, for pleasure, for power, whatever it may be. And this is where we find ourselves when we live in this mentality. See, when we use our freedom for self-indulgence, we actually find ourselves back in bondage, ironically. When we use our freedom to say, hey, I'm gonna go do whatever we want, the fact of the matter is that you will find yourself back in bondage really quickly. See, because you will constantly be striving and never wanting to be undercut by someone else, and you will find yourself enslaved to the game of trying to get ahead even more. You will just find yourself over and over again. The strange thing is that Jesus says in the middle of this, he says, you are called to be free, but then he says, now go serve one another. Seems contradictory, right? It's like, wait a minute, you just told me that I was called to be free, right? Freedom means I do what I want, which means you don't get to say afterwards what I need to do in that space. But here Jesus says, you are called to be free. And then he says, use your freedom to go serve one another. It seems contradictory, but see, here's the thing. Jesus sets us free. That's what he does. That's what he's in the business of doing. When our life connects with him, we are set free. And living a life of servanthood ensures that your freedom remains. That's what he's asking us to step into. He says, look, I'm gonna set you free. But it's your responsibility then to maintain the freedom that I have allowed you to step into. In other words, Jesus sets you free, but he wants to ensure that you stay free. And the pathway to staying free is servanthood. See, because service is declaring that you are not held captive by consumption. That's what it is. It is a bold declaration to the world and everyone else around you, to yourself and to God, saying, I refuse to be held captive by simply getting as much as I can and living in that space. See, when you step into that space, you choose a very different path. When you choose that space, you're actually able to give your life away freely. And see, even those closest to Jesus didn't really comprehend this subject very well. It shouldn't be a surprise that we at times bristle against this idea. But turn with me to Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. There's this moment where Jesus has a conversation with some of his closest disciples, starting with their mother who got involved, which always makes things a little crazy, right? So Matthew 20, verse 20 says this. It says, "Then the mother of the Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, kneeling down and asked a favor of him. 'What is it you want?' he asked. She said, 'Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom.' 'You don't know what you are asking,' Jesus said to them. 'Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?' 'We can,' they answered. And Jesus said to them, 'You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These are places belonging to those whom they have been prepared for my Father.' And when the 10 heard about this, the others, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus, calling them together, said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must become your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" See, it starts here with this wonderful Jewish mother bringing this request to Jesus, saying, "Hey, I got a request. I would like my sons to be seated at the left and the right-hand side of Jesus." Small request of God, right? Small request. When you go up to heaven, just give my sons the most prominent spot and that will call it even, right? In the middle of this. And Jesus turns everything on its head, as he often does. Jesus is in the business of turning things over that seem very natural to us. I remember the first time when I was in Bali, Indonesia, and I got behind the wheel of a car driving on the right, left-hand side of the road, where the driver's seat was on the right side of the car and you're driving on the left-hand side of the road. And I'd never experienced that before, and I can't tell you how awkward it was. I went from like being an expert driver to being like a kindergartner behind the wheel, because suddenly you could make left-hand turns without a red light, but you couldn't make right-hand turns. And you constantly had to be watching this side of the car, not this side of the car, because everything was turned around. And it took what once felt so easy to do, and it made it so complex. And what Jesus does often is he flips the script on us. What comes so naturally to us, he flips it. And so oftentimes what he calls us into is very counterintuitive. And he says this: "In my kingdom, in the kingdom of God, which we live in, if you're connected to him," he says, "if you want to be great, you must become a servant." Now, I don't know about you, but that just doesn't jive with my ideas often. See, because if I want to be great, my ideas, then I need to get ahead. I need to work harder. I need to do more. I need to step up my game. And what he says, no, this is the pathway towards greatness, is just simply start serving one another. That's the equation that he puts. And this is what makes Jesus so powerful, is that he understood that this was the reality that God wove through the fabric of the universe, was that when you lay down your life, you are elevated. That when you give your life away, you are suddenly filled in the middle of that. And this is what I love about Jesus. He did just that. He gave his life away. He healed, he loved, he fed, he taught, he cared for, and he served even into his death, because the act of that service would ransom many, as he said. That in his servanthood, he might actually find others finding life and wholeness and freedom, and it ripples out even to us today, his service. See, because it is in the very nature of God to serve, because greatness is the fruit of service. See, I don't know about you, but when I think of God and I think of his character traits, I think of things first like he's powerful and he's loving and he's merciful and he's good. But one of the first things that doesn't come to mind is he's a servant. I know he is, but that's not like a quality that I want to go to, because I personally bristle against the idea that that's a high calling, right? And yet here, Jesus says, if you want to step into the fullness that you are called to live in, you will only find it through a life of servants. And see, we are the continued beneficiaries of a God who is defined as a servant to us. That should blow our minds in how we interact with him. See, unfortunately, the church has become at times a space of entitlement. It's become a movement at times where we are self-seeking and looking for comfort and creating environments that suit our needs, rather than finding a space where we can give our lives away to create spaces where others can step into to find wholeness and freedom. The church at times comes to be a place where I come to get my needs met, rather than a place that I can invest my time in. In fact, people always ask me, why don't you call this thing a church service? We call this our gathering, by the way. And I bristle against that word, because that word was actually created during the middle of the Reformation so that people could come to an event like this and get serviced by the holy people. And see, we're not here to service you. I'm not here to service you. I hope you get value out of our time together. I hope that you grow from our time together. But I am here to step into a space to equip you so that we can equip one another to create a community where God's presence moves and people find life, where we participate together in creating something bigger than the sum of our parts. See, that's what God calls us into. Ironically, we step into a space like this and God serves us. How crazy is that, right? That we would come together and God would move powerfully and transform us as we come together to create a space for others to be transformed by him. And this is not the invitation of Jesus to us, of come and be comfortable, of come and have your needs met, of come and get yours. See, what Jesus says is, let me come to you and let me serve you. Let me redeem you. Let me heal you. Let me take all of the brokenness and the darkness that is inside of you and remove that from you. And let me help you be new. And I will set you free. But I will set you free so that you can go serve the world, so that others can experience that same level of freedom, and your freedom simultaneously can be secured. It can be maintained as you go give your life away to others. See, you will never question where you're gonna get yours, or how can you get yours, or how can I get ahead when you are in the act of serving other people. You will never, that question won't even be like in your mind, because God says, as you go serve the world, I will supply all your needs. It is in the act of us giving our life away that God pours out into us abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. That is what happens. See, the church does not exist to meet your needs. We are the church, and we exist to meet the needs of the world around us. That's where we find ourselves. Yeah, you can clap for that. See, because God is always, always, always in the active role of expanding your life, of increasing your capacity, of moving that forward. He does that with a call to lay down our lives and to lay down our small, insignificant self, the self that's constantly saying, what about me? How do I get mine? When am I gonna get ahead? When's someone gonna notice me? For something much greater, for something far more powerful and something more beautiful that your life was designed to be. This is the powerful thing in the kingdom of this world. When you find yourself striving for more, when you find yourself constantly trying to get ahead and doing more so that you can be noticed or find achievement or find happiness, your choice is diminished to almost nothing. The power of choice is removed from your life when you play the game of how can I get ahead? Because you are actually limited by what you can see in this physical world. See, you have no choice if what's possible in your life is dictated by your bank account. You have no choice in life if what you can do with your life is dictated by the circumstances that you find yourself in. You have no choice in life if your capacity to love is dependent on the level of brokenness that you might find yourself in or out of that day. So you have no choice when you find yourself there in that space. Because the question is constantly, how much can I take? How much can I get? We become a vacuum for taking. No wonder why we worry about us so much in this equation. But see, here's the powerful thing, is that when you step into God's kingdom and you begin serving the world around you, you suddenly are given choice back. You are suddenly given one of the most powerful spiritual gifts that you will ever be given, the power to choose how you will invest your life, where you will invest your life, how much you will give away, how much others are going to experience from you, how much love you get to give to one another, how you're going to invest the moments that you've been given in any second. See, the question then becomes, how much can I give? And your life expands far beyond you. This is what Jesus calls us into. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, turn with me there. This is another moment that Jesus talks us through this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Because this is where Jesus gets the rubber to the road and shows us what this actually looks like. And when we look at what this actually looks like, this is where we oftentimes find disagreement. Because he says this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. That's the thinking, by the way, that comes when we're disconnected from God. That if someone takes my eye, I need your eye. But if someone takes my tooth, I need your tooth. Because we're always at a loss. And he goes on and he says, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at this, I'm like, that is horrible boundaries, right? I'm like, that can't be true. That can't be what Jesus means. But let's just go with it, right? Sometimes the craziest thing when you look at a scripture and say, that can't be what that means, is to just go, that's probably what that means, right? Because I think that this is where the rubber meets the road. It's fascinating that Jesus calls us into service wherein others are attempting to remove our freedom. Do you notice that? All of these are occasions where people are attempting to take or to remove the freedom that you have been given, and the pathway out of that is to find yourself in service to these moments. You know those people, those moments when people are testing you, right? You know those moments when your spouse or your mom or your dad or your kids are testing you, and they're attempting to take away your freedom. They're attempting to elicit a response from you. They're attempting to trap you in the corner with a reaction. They're attempting to pull out that emotion or those phrases or those words that you know are inevitably going to be coming out of your mouth the more they press and press and press. You know what I'm talking about, right? Those moments. See, our natural responses in those moments enslave us. Because anger will always enslave you. Resentment will always enslave you. Bitterness will always enslave you. You will always find yourself back in bondage when you respond from their spirit. There's not like a lot of creative choice in the middle of that. You respond like an animal would. You bite me, I bite you. You hurt me, I hurt you. But when we choose service, we declare boldly to even those who are attempting to take our freedom away, I am free and I have a choice. See, so when someone slaps you, we say, no, I'm free. I'm not going to be enslaved to anger. Feel free to have the other cheek. I'm choosing this. See, when someone sues you and says, hey, I want your coat, you can say, hey, you have no handle on me. I freely give you my coat and I freely give you my shirt and I give you my coat. See, there was a law that said that the Jews, when a Roman soldier asked them to carry their stuff, that they legally were required to carry their stuff for up to a mile, like pack animals. And so what Jesus was telling the people was, look, don't resist it. But when you go the mile, say, hey, you don't have any control over my freedom. I choose to go another mile to remind you that I'm free. And see, this is what Jesus is attempting to do, is to remove all of the anger and the resentment and the bitterness that would often enslave us and say, look, if you actually serve, you will find yourself declaring powerfully to the world around you that you are free. And this is so oftentimes difficult for us to grasp because everything in the culture around us tells us to look out for number one above everything else, to do that. In fact, we have a poster when we first come out of our room on the wall in our living room, and it's a big poster that just says, give your life away. Because it's a reminder to me every day, oh yeah, that's what we're up to. Because left to my own devices and left to our own devices, we drift so easily back into the what about me conversation. When Jesus is constantly calling us into give your life away, and it begins by recognizing that the God of the universe has served you, that he has served you so powerfully, and that he has given to you. It was interesting that this last Christmas, after Jackson, our son, was born, how shopping for my parents for Christmas dramatically changed. Because before it was like, oh yeah, give my parents whatever they need, a little some gift card, whatever they want, you know, et cetera, find something. But I can't tell you, something switched that year because suddenly, after having endless nights of no sleep and changing tons of diapers and being glued to our house with nowhere to go, I welled up with gratitude for what my parents had done to keep me alive, right? Suddenly, my parents were not just like nice figures who had done good things for me. They were saints, right? Because I suddenly realized the sacrifice that they had made as I began making that sacrifice for my son. And I realized that there was nothing that I could get them that could repay them for the sacrifice that they gave to me in that moment. And in the same way, when we start serving the world around us, recognizing the grand scheme that God has gone through to serve us, we recognize that there is nothing that we have to give back other than to give our lives back in service. Imagine a world where everyone understood this. Imagine a community where people suddenly flipped the switch and everyone's conversations shifted from how can I get mine to how can I give my life away? Could you imagine you would only need a handful of people in a room in Pomona to transform the world if we switched the script in our mind of how we related to one another? I have this small dream to have an orchard in my backyard. I don't know why. I think it's kind of cool to go outside and eat stuff, right? Right off the trees. So we have like a raised garden, a couple fruit trees. And a couple years ago, we planted a tangerine tree out in the backyard. And it's grown like one tangerine. But this year, there's like four tangerines on it, right? So they're precious little fruits. And I was out the other day gardening and trimming back some bougainvillea and such. And in the middle of that, I brought my elbow down hard and broke a branch off of the tangerine tree that had two tangerines on it. I would instantly lost 50% of my crop, right? And they were small and green. They had nowhere to go. They were homeless and on their way to death, right? So I thought to myself, what can I do right now? So I went inside and I got duct tape and zip ties, right? And I put the branch back up onto the tree and I wet it with my spit and I duct taped that thing and I zip tied it so tight. And guess what happened? It's alive still. It grew back. I took that tape off and that branch was grafted back into the tree. I was like, what? And I'm pleased to announce that that tangerine is turning orange now. And we will eat it soon, all right? So there is the beautiful thing, is that Jesus calls us to do just that with our lives. In John chapter 15, I'm going to end with this. In John chapter 15, this is how this looks and how we are to live out this life. He says this to us in John chapter 15, verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me also, and I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. See, if the thought of pouring out your life constantly feels overwhelming, If the thought of just giving your life away on a regular basis feels like a burden, the problem isn't a strength issue. The problem is a source issue. The problem is not your strength and how strong you get to be. The problem is a source issue. So because one of the things I love about Jesus is that he constantly wants to do the impossible with us. See, I think what Jesus does is he waits with us and he says, let me do for you what you cannot do for yourself. I want to do that. Yeah, we can do all the other stuff that you can do for yourself and your own strength. That's great. But I want to do what you can't do on your own to make you live a life that is defined only as impossible. And that's the calling that he calls us into. And when we step into conversations like this, we would think it'd be like, well, then I want a car, right? Or I want more money. I can't get a Mercedes on my own, so boom, let's do this. But that's not what he calls us to. He says this, I want you to start with a declaration that you are going to serve the world. It starts with a desire to serve the world at a supernatural level. See, because you alone will burn out trying to give your life away on your own. However, if you serve in the power of the God who is serving you, you will never find yourself without energy, hope, freedom, love to give away. You will constantly be connected to the source that is moving you in and through you, because that is what the source's job is to provide everything that you need to thrive and produce fruit in the world. And if you're not producing fruit, what it just tells you is that you're not connected to the source. Not a problem, just get connected. Find some duct tape and some zip ties, all right? That's what's needed, is to be connected to the source who is Jesus. See, with Jesus, there's never a supply issue. He's not like, oh, dang it, we ran out of hope this week, right? Wait, we have it on back order. We'll get it to you, Amazon Prime it, right? No, it's never a source. It's never a supply issue. And it's actually never a timing issue. I think sometimes we as Christians use this to, well, it's not the right time. I think God's always waiting to do something miraculous in us and through us all the time. See, but he will not invest his resources in someone who's more interested in creating a reservoir in their life than a river in their life. He's not interested in someone who's saying, look, fill my needs up first. And when you fill up my needs, then I will totally give my life away. See, it's crazy. He actually asks us to go out and start serving now. And trust that as we start giving ourselves, his source will make up the difference. See, I find all types of people all the time that says, well, I'll start serving when? And it's usually when all these circumstances. I'll join a community group when all of the circumstances. I'll start serving somewhere at Mosaic when fill in the blank. I'll start giving when fill in the blank circumstance. No choice. But the powerful thing about Jesus, he says, start serving. Start giving. Start moving. I know you on your own don't have it. I get it, because that's not about you doing this on your own. But the second that you step out and do something, God will infuse you with everything that you need. Ironically, your depths will be filled as you give your life away. The depths of your life will be filled, and you will never ask the question, what about me? Because you will constantly be a source for others. The other option is to disconnect and to fade away, which so many choose. And that's the tragedy of life, when human potential is not realized because we refuse to serve one another, connecting to the source that gives us everything we need. See, the powerful thing is that one branch supplies a bunch of grapes to feed a person, but a bunch of branches together supply what's needed to feed the world. This is the power of a community that comes together saying, it's not about me, but it's about me serving the world around me in the strength of a God who has created me. That together we produce a fruit of service to the world that quenches any thirst, that fills any hunger, that quiets any storm, that brings hope where there is hopelessness, and there brings light where there is darkness, and brings freedom where there is captivity. but it starts with us answering the call. Will you lay down your life? Will you give it away? And will you trust that I, Jesus, will be your source in the middle of it? Let's pray together. This morning, if you're here and maybe you recognize that you've never been connected to the source of Jesus. Maybe it was something that you did a long time ago and you've been disconnected, or maybe you've never actually stepped into a relationship with Jesus. It's nothing crazy. It's just like introducing yourself to a new friend, except he's been with you your entire life, calling you, wooing you, longing to be with you. And so today, if you want to connect to Jesus for the first time, if you want to say, I want to connect, I want to find that life, I want to find that source, I'm ready to find that hope and that love and that freedom. If that's you, would you just raise your hand, no one looking around, just say, I want to connect to Jesus today. Who today would say, yeah, who else? Who else in the room says, today I want to connect to Jesus? Awesome, all over the room. Very cool. I want to pray for you. You can put your hands down. But I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask you just to pray this prayer with me. Just pray, dear Jesus, I give you my life and I make you Lord of my life. I admit that I am broken and unable to supply my own strength. I know that you died for me and you came back to life. I choose your life over mine. Come and fill me up. I make you my Lord. And Father, I just thank you for these men and women who made that decision this morning. I ask, God, that you would infuse us as a community, God, with your passion of service, God. God, I thank you that you are a God who always outserves us. That there is never a time where we will outserve you, God. But teach us to give our lives away. Teach us to pour out our lives. Teach us to be a source of beauty and hope for the world around us, God. We love you and we thank you that you are so good. Teach us to be the people who give our lives away for the sake of your freedom. God, that the world around us may know who you are and experience the same level of liberation in their own lives. We thank you. We're so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's talk. Join us next week for a new conversation or download the Mosaic Pomona app to continue interacting with the Mosaic Pomona community. Thanks and have a great week.